here. It's my pleasure to see some names that I've met, people I've met with earlier. So it's my honor to see all of you here. So let me just share screen. We will.
Yes,
Okay, great. So the topic that I've chosen for today is put your house in order. It's a phrase we do hear quite often. Of course, I'm going to focus on put your business in order. And what we will do is initially we will look at why we need to do that, and then look at a few a few tips on how we need to do. What are the things we probably need to pay attention to? I wish I could ask you the question if someone's if some of you are before the screen, can you tell me where does this come? To whom does God say put your house in order? Can I have a quick chat answer? If I'm sure you'll are not
I
all of
said
you. Ezekiel? Hezekiah, right? It's King Hezekiah from who was a king of Judah. And he was a very very righteous king, who brought about a lot of religious reforms. In fact, I was reading somewhere that after David, he was one of the most faithful and richest kings that were considered good and who managed well. So he was told that he is going to die, and God sends Isaiah to say, put your house in order because you're going to die and you will not recover. So, so of course, we are not talking about, that's not the message to us that you're going to die, but I want to just say what is really intended and how do we apply this into our own business situations. So when this message came to Hezekiah, yes, we know that he had a lot of plans. He had set his country or his Judah in order, and then he has this message that you're going to die. So why is God saying, put your house in order? There is something that God is intending. He doesn't want things to be disrupted. He wanted things to continue, as he would have intended it, right? Because if everything's going to end with your death, or will he did not want that to close. So I want us to also think of the larger picture in which God has placed each of us, the influence that God has placed, or the products that we deliver in our businesses. What is that bigger picture? Because God definitely had plans for the bigger picture, which was for the kingdom of Israel or for the kingdom of Judah, and that's what God was interested in. Not that he was not interested in Hezekiah, because he did send Isaiah over to him, but there was something that God was interested in, something that was much larger. So I want to encourage us today to think of that larger picture that we are part of. And and in that sense, the what CBMC does is amazing, because we're trying to fit us as business people into that larger picture of what God is doing. We might think, oh, I'm just running this small business and I'm just making a little bit of money. Is that what the larger picture is? Is that all that God has for us? Definitely not. There is a bigger picture, right? So here was God, sending word to Hezekiah, saying, make sure that you put things in order. What does that mean? If things are not right, set it right. If your successors are not in place, put it in place. Make sure that there is going to be no disruption. The things that were being done and intended through what you're doing should continue. Okay. And we should, even though we move on, things should continue. I think we need to also think of it from that point of view, because we are not just as business people. It's different, right? If you're working in an as an employee in an organization, the organization, can easily move on. But when we are owners of an organization, we have a greater impact, a greater influence. And how can we make sure that things will always be at a point of continuity? So That readiness. So I'm saying, when we're talking about put your house in order, let us think of the continuity for the purposes for which God has called us. How can that continuity be there? You know, how will you ensure that that purpose is fulfilled? Now, I like to think that as business people, what is that purpose that God has for us? I know some, you know, each of us, each of you would have your own mission and vision statement, but what is that larger picture? And I believe I like to go back to Genesis. And I somehow think that this Genesis 1:28, where, you know, God says, you know, he just blessed them, he put them in the garden, and he said, work it out, work on it, and be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. You know, he says, rule over the weather for the fish of the earth and all of that stuff, you know. But it's what is that message there? I believe this is like one great commission to the business people, because there is something very, very important that comes out of the hands of the business person. Because to be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. I believe that's what we need to look at. That's what God wants us to do. Because unless all of us as business people do our part, we are the ones who are building the society, the economy. You know, we're the ones who are doing that. And we need to ask, and we need to see how we fit in into that bigger plan of God. And when we all work in harmony, you know, we are building and doing what God wants for this earth. And I strongly believe that, because we all know, and I'm sure you've heard those messages, you know, on the same platform, where we are people who are able to create. We are able to create things so that the society is blessed. It may be through the products or the services that you deliver. You know, you are blessing the society. You are blessing people around us. You are providing jobs to people. And so there is a bigger picture, and your role is so important in what God is doing on this earth. It's not just the pastor and the preacher. We are the ones who are actually building that economy, and we need to be very, very conscious of that. I want to just you know, share a small testimony here. You know, when I was, you know, much, much younger, starting my career as a chartered accountant in R.K. Khanna and Associates itself, I started at one point thinking, you know, what am I doing with, you know, with just offering consultancy, talking about tax and laws and all of these things? How does it really matter in eternity? And I don't think, I don't want to be doing things that don't matter in eternity. And you know, and my husband was already in Bible translation work, and I was like, it just doesn't sound right. You know, I need to be doing something that has got meaning. And so at that point of time, I said, okay, God, I have to hear from you. I just shut myself up for 3 days, and I said, God, I want an answer. I'm just happy to give up this career and go into full-time work or whatever, but I want to do things that really matter in eternity. And you know, the answer that I got is similar to what I just shared. I believe the Lord was telling me that, you know, even the consulting work, or even as a chartered accountant, it is part of the God's ecosystem on this earth, and you have a role to play there, and I want you to remain there. And that was beautiful, as far as, you know, it was something totally new. You know, in those days, we didn't hear about marketplace ministries and things like that. So it was like, it just felt like, you know, why am I doing this kind of a thing? But it was beautiful to hear something that I've said, that what you are going to do, what you're doing as a chartered accountant, you know, is necessary for God's plan in on this earth. And you know, it just fits in beautifully. And as I thought about it, and I said, wow, that's beautiful, that our businesses, in terms of products and services, is a chunk, is a part of that big puzzle of what's happening on this earth. And there's a book I really liked, and I thought it was very interesting. It's from a person called, and it's called Rabbi Daniel Lapin. He's not a Christian. He is a Jewish rabbi. And he has a lot of messages, even on the internet. He talks about business from the Bible and what the Bible intended. And he says this similar thing. He says about how each one has their role to play. And that's the harmony that needs to come about in the society. And I think that's, I know we only think of it from a money perspective. While money perspective is also important, there is also the products and services and the influence and the jobs and the things that we create, because a business person is creative, is creating new things. We have the verses in Corinthians where it talks about how you're generous and your generosity crosses multiplication of generosity. That also does happen. But here we're talking about the business, not just in terms of money, but we're talking about, fitting into that big picture. So I would encourage us to see, fit in your own vision and mission into this whole big picture that God has, where He wants us to be fruitful and increase, fill the earth and subdue it. Subdue it, of course, the way God wants it, with good deeds, with good work, with good products, with good services, in a way that glorifies God. I don't sometimes fully understand, when you do good deeds, does God that do people see us and say, "Oh, his God is great"? I don't know how that works, but the Bible tells us that people see your good deeds, that people see what good things you're doing, and glorify your Father, your God in heaven. So let's look at it that way, and I would say, think of your business that way. Think of that big picture, because the minute you think of that in that big picture, it's easy to understand and see ourselves as stewards, to see ourselves as, how do I fulfill this big purpose that I have? Okay, so I would say, have the purposes of God before us all the time, and then we will automatically put our house in order. Automatically put our house in order. Of course, I'm focusing on finance in this area right now, because I'm sure all of you all are really great in the businesses that you are doing. You all are experts. You all know how to do that business. Now, I'm talking about how finance is an important element in that whole, process of being that good steward, or fulfilling that big purpose, or fulfilling the role that you have in what God is trying to do. So let me encourage you with that. If you have questions, do think about it. We will take questions towards the end. Now, I want to go back to Hezekiah. He's such an interesting guy. So when he was sick, so what does he do? He goes, prays. We all know that how God gave him extension in life and all of that. And one of the things he says is, because remember, we're talking about continuity of our purpose. He says, the living, they praise you as I'm doing today. Because, God does promise that he's going to extend his life. And he says, parents tell their children about your faithfulness, right? It's about multiplying my vision, multiplying this big vision that we just now talked about, that is something that is very, very important in continuity. Of course, when you think of continuity, we think, okay, if I die, then who's going to take over my business? I feel that's just a small part of it, because he says, we talk about the faithfulness of God to my children. It just need not be with children. It can be with anybody who is in my sphere of influence. So there is a continuity, how we are talking about these things, about God's purpose, about God's plan, how we all fit in, and how we all of us work together. Of course, the pastors, the preachers, the teachers, all of them have their role, and we fulfill and wait for his kingdom to come on this earth. But you know what Hezekiah did? I mean, I was just shocked reading that. So then what happens? He gets extension of life, and we have the story about how there is an there is somebody who comes from another country, and he's showing off all his wealth and all his riches. All right, so obviously he did go back and do the things he was asked to do, right? He did put his house in order, because he prospers and he has so much to show off. And then Isaiah comes and says, God is displeased with what you have done, and your generations, or in, you are this, all of what you see is what he says. All of what you see is going to go away. And you know what Hezekiah's response is? That he says, The word of the Lord you have spoken is good, Hezekiah replied. What is that word? That these things are all going to be destroyed. For he thought, there will be peace and security in my lifetime. I mean, so short-sighted, thinking only about himself. He says, okay, I'm going to enjoy myself during my lifetime. And you know, if you go back and read, his son, you know, was one of the worst kings ever, right? So, you know, he was so short-sighted, thinking only about himself. But that's not the way God wants. You know, you might say, oh, if I want to think about the world around me, maybe I'll lose focus on my business. I don't think so. As we fit into the whole kingdom purposes of God, which includes, if I may say, in my context, providing tax consultancy, I believe, you know, we will see blessing. We will see blessing. And let's not be like Hezekiah, who's so short-sighted, who's only thinking about the peace he will have in his lifetime, who's only thinking about the money and the fame and the prosperity he will have for himself. But let's think about how we can be a part of the kingdom of God. So having said that, I'm going to, you know, go a little deeper into finance-related matters. Just a few tips on what are the things you need to do. Some of you, you know, have heard me already when we talked about these things, but I want to quickly run through some of these practical things, okay? Income, just watch your top line. Make sure that your revenues are growing. Now, if this is the purpose that we have to run our business as well. We have to make it impact people. And we have to make sure that we are making the money. Because the money that we make is also a test of what we're doing or an outcome of what we are doing. So optimize our revenue. Try and increase different lines of business. You all are good at it. You, the business people, good at it. We know, you know, what and where it needs to happen. Keep a tight control on your receivables. So the money that you need to receive, have a tight control, you know, have your processes in place. Don't be just focused on, you know, increasing your business, but be focused on your processes and the controls that you have in place. Manage your cash flow. I think this was one of the examples we did when we were in Madurai. You know, we said cash flow, if you're just making, you know, doing business, having customers, selling or, you know, whatever, but then you don't have cash in your hand, there is a problem. So make sure you're managing your cash flows. You know, harness the use of technology, I would say, as much as you can, including on finances, in the reporting structures that you have. You know, use technology so that you know on a daily basis where your finances are or where your business is going, how things are being done, okay? So manage your income well. Manage your bottom line. What's your bottom line? Your top line is your sales. Your bottom line is income minus expense is my profit. And if you should know that, your accounting system should be good. You should be able to track your expenses on a regular basis, on a daily basis, and have things that you can see so that you know whether you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, so that you know where your income's coming, you know where your expenses are. So please make sure you have a good accounting system. Ensure that you have some budgets, you know, budgets so that you have a plan for what you're doing. Make sure that you are, you know, controlling your expenses within your budget. All right. Comply with all the laws, applicable laws. There are laws with regards to administration, property, employees, you know, just be aware and conscious. If you don't have to go and study them, but you should know what's applicable to you. Have people around you who are good advisors, who will support you in this whole process so that you can focus on the core areas. Okay, you can focus on the core areas and minimize costs, of course. And how will you know that? How can you minimize costs if you don't know what your costs are, right? If money comes and you just keep spending, you have no idea. If you don't have a plan, if you're not spending according to plan, if you're not keeping track of the expenses and you don't know what they are, it's going to be very, very difficult to be able to do that. So please don't, I know it's probably, you know, you consider it as a necessary evil, but definitely not. You think of it as something that supports my business. That's how you need to look at accounting and the information that you have on that you get from your finances. Okay. So some of the quick routines, I would say, on a daily basis, make sure that your cash in hand is tally, that with the financials that you have the money that you're supposed to be having on a monthly basis. Look at your trial balances. Make sure that the bank is reconciled. I mean, even if you as a business owner, you know, gets a copy of the trial balance, just read it. You know, I am sure, you know, you think, oh, I don't understand accounting. But if you have a trial balance, if you see heads, which you know what those heads are, you know, you have the name of a vendor, for example, and you have a balance against them, you can definitely say, hey, why do I owe this person so much money? Those are questions that you can easily ask irrespective of the fact that you are a business or not a finance person. Okay. And you know, these are things that you can do and reconcile bank statements. Make sure that they're telling you at least that bank statements are reconciled. At least once in two, you know, once in two or two times in a year, physically verify stock, especially if you have, you know, sometimes people do it on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, depending on the kind of stock that you have, the inventory that you're carrying, you know, physically verify your stock on an annual basis. Definitely look at your financials. If you can look at it on a regular basis, that's also good. But at least once a year, analyze and see where you're going, if you're happy with the way you're going, or you need to make changes, and physically verify your fixed assets. Okay, your assets also, depending again, I mean, if you just have one table and chair, you don't have to verify it. But if you have, which I'm sure you have more than that, or you don't even have assets, let's say you're in a business which is all cloud-based and you don't need to have any fixed assets, obviously you wouldn't do it. But otherwise, depending on the nature of your business, just some routines that I thought I must suggest. Now, having said, you know, optimize on your income, minimize your expenses, make sure your bottom line is good, you're making profit, definitely, then the objective is that you maximize your wealth. Means what you are going to make, because end of the day, you might have a big business. If your wealth is not increasing, your wealth is not increasing. Now, you might say, I'm, you know, in the increase, I'm going to be generous, I'm going to give away. Yes, all that is fine. But that can only come when there is profit. You can't even give when there is no profit. So you need to increase. You need to do that increase. You need to make sure that there is increase in your profits, right? And you are increasing wealth. I want to focus this on this matter on wealth, because sometimes I'm beginning to realize that business people think, for example, let me give you an example. Let's say you have a private limited company, and your private limited company is doing very well, making profits, and you know, you're expanding. So what happens when you're making profits? You think of expansion and you're expanding. And in your mind, I've heard people say, oh, that's my business. That's my income. That's where I am making money. But you know what? The private limited company is not you. You are an owner. You are a shareholder. But you have no right to take anything from that unless procedures are followed. Not just the procedure of signing a check. You know, for example, you can't just say, I want to take all the money that's there in the bank in a private limited company, even though you are the owner, because the only way you can take out your profits is through dividends. Or if you are providing services to the company, you can take a salary which is commensurate with what you are doing and which is, you know, in a way relatable or explainable to what you are paying the rest of your staff. So remember, you are not the company. The company is not you. You are two different entities. And so you need to think of your personal wealth. You need to think of the company and what it does. So please remember this. That's not the case with a proprietorship. I agree. But as you're growing and you are into a you know, more legal structure, remember that you need to take care of your wealth. Personally, you need to take care of the business wealth as well. Because if not, God forbid, a day comes when God calls you home, you know, you would have not provided for your family. So in order to provide for the family, you need to build your personal wealth. And I want to just emphasize on that, because I'm seeing this more and more happening in businesses. So profits, and so you have to make sure that you have a profit, you make sure that you have a positive cash flow, make sure that you have an emergency fund, even in your business. Just a tip here, make sure even in your business, 2-3 months of you know, your expenses, your bare minimum expenses are kept aside in some form. form. And when you get into debt, make sure you have evaluated debt, you know, because sometimes we just bleed the company, we see great business opportunities. So I have this, sometimes I have people who come and say, you know, I'm doing this business, but I have this opportunity, that opportunity, I can make so much money there, I can make so much money there. Don't spread yourself so thin and get yourself into debt that will cause an issue for the existing business and for your family. So prayerfully evaluate before you get into debt. Stay clear of credit card debt, please, personally, business, wherever, you know, stay clear of it. It's just too expensive for us to manage. And when you have personal debt, so what happens? Again, you're doing this business, your business is running well, and then you say, oh, I have to make this big house for myself. Go and get yourself a personal loan, which is like a huge, probably more than you can manage, more than you have resources for. You think, okay, I can take it out of my business. And then something happens, you're not able to take it out. You're stuck with this personal debt. You're stuck with the business having to feed into your business debt. And then there is trouble. So be careful of these things. And all of these things can only happen when you have your accounts and you're seeing your trend, you're seeing where things are going. Okay, so be careful and be aware of it. Okay, my time's running out. So do not mix your personal and official funds. Fix a salary for yourself. So if you are in a company or even a private limited or even a sole proprietorship, discipline yourself to say, I'm going to take this much salary and don't keep changing it all the time. If there is more money, don't take more. If there is less money, don't take more. Don't take less. I mean, you'll have to adjust to that. But fix your salary and draw it out. Draw it out. And make investments personally as well. Don't just leave everything in your business. All right? Because, you know, if God forbid something happens, you have nothing personally, nothing officially. So take it out. Take it out. Not take everything out. Plan, take it out. Don't bleed the company, but at the same time, build your personal wealth, okay? And if you are into partnership, you know, say, oh, it's my brother, my own blood brother, or my brother in faith, whatever, make your partnerships clear. Make your terms clear when you are still loving each other, because when money comes, there is division. So don't let it be. And that affects the growth of the business. That affects the impact of the business. So don't leave your partnerships hanging. Have everything in writing, please. Okay, have it all in writing and have a plan to build wealth for your family apart from your business. I already said that. Plan for succession, plan for inheritance. Who will succeed in your business, in the operations of your business? Please have a plan for that. Please have a plan for what will I leave for my children, or you don't want to leave anything for your children, or how much will I leave, or you know, for charity, whatever. Have it in place. Write a will today, not tomorrow. You may be young, but please make a will as early as you can. And stop with that. I only have 2 minutes left. I'm happy to take questions. Thank you, Brother Sam.
Yeah, if you have any questions, you can just ask anybody. Two questions, maybe. Yeah.
Thank you, sister, for the wonderful message. So I have one question. Get rid of this love of money? Can you differentiate between the love of money and how it's not meant that we shouldn't earn, right? We have to earn, but at the same time, you should not have a love of money. What does it mean exactly in your perspective?
It's actually a very brilliant and a question that each of us need to constantly ask ourselves. Because I have learned this from Brother Richard. He says Jesus had only one competitor, and that was money. He said you cannot love God and money, right? There is only one competition. And it's true. How to get rid of it is a constant reminder that all of this comes from God. And making God a part of your business, I believe, because the only way, it's love, right? How can I stop loving somebody? Or how can I make myself love somebody? Is a question you're really asking. And the only way is that you start remembering that this is from God. In your business, say, God, you are my business partner. Will you tell me what to do? Make God a part of it. And I'll tell you something else that I have learned. If you feel you have an issue with money, give it away. You know? When you give away money, it breaks the hold it has on you. I don't think I've given you any 1, 2, 3 answer, but it's something that we have to constantly be watchful of. And because the message that Jesus gave was actually to you and me. It was not to the unbeliever. That means there's a great potential for believers to be lovers of money. Great potential. And make God a part of your business. I think just practically. Okay, I hope it helps you.
Thank you, sister.
Oh, one last question. Yeah.
Tell us, for a true Christian businessman, what is the limit for accumulation of wealth?
That's a personal question, right? What can we fix a limit and say how much wealth should I accumulate, right? I mean, I would just like to answer that from the point of hoarding versus saving, right? So when we talk about personal finances, what I suggest is, plan your future, plan your, what you need, how much do you want to give away? Because when you say accumulation, why are we accumulating? I want to give something to my children. I want to leave a legacy. Maybe I want to leave something that will earn an income for charity or for God's work, or you need to have money for your retirement. So if you define your lifestyle for a retirement, if you define how much you're going to give your children, and if you have then decided how much I'm going to give away, or rather, I would say all the rest is to be given away. So there has to, if you talk about how much do I accumulate? So then if I'm going to have more than that, then I'm hoarding. We have a tendency in among us to say, how much ever I make, I'm going to keep it and give it to my children. I don't think that's necessary. You think how much you want to give to your children, cut it off and say, okay, I've made that much. Well, that's my personal experience. That's what we have done. We decided this is what we'll give our children. We've accumulated, we've saved it, and we've said this is what is going to be for our children. And now there's going to be nothing more that I'm going to keep aside. Okay, maybe properties and things like that are already there, but it's a decision that we have to take and plan it accordingly. For your retirement, for your future plans. Doesn't matter, you say, okay, if you have the money, you say, okay, when I'm 70 years old, I'm going to go travel the world. Okay, keep some money for that also. But do it prayerfully, have a budget, plan, save, accumulate again, save for a purpose, whatever is rest, give it away.
Thank you, madam.
Well, you can do the closing prayer and finish it.
You want me to close?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for each one of you. And I hope this has been a blessing, at least some seeds that you can think of. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank you, Father, for your word, which is so powerful and that has a message for each one of us in our workplaces and in our homes and in our businesses and every one of these things. Thank you for calling us out, O Lord God, to make an impact in this world, Father. Lord, we surrender and submit ourselves, each one who's here, into your hands and their businesses. Be with us in our going in our coming out, in every business decision. Let the power of God, let it be the Holy Spirit that speaks through us, anoints us, guides us, grants us favor and wisdom and understanding that we might excel, that we might impact the society around us, that we might influence them, that people may see our good works and glorify you, O Jesus. That's our desire. And we say and we ask of you that our businesses will be blessed, that there will be increase, there will be multiplication, that we will be people of impact, that we will be generous, we will give, O God, and that generosity will also multiply, Lord. Thank you for the ministry of CBMC. We pray a blessing upon the leadership of CBMC, that it will increase and influence and see, O God, your children in this nation, O God, make a difference. In the name of Jesus, we ask.
Amen.